You know, first and foremost, why I say I joined is because the same way that I tell agents to join our organization, I said, when you combine your resources with my resources, we make a bigger opportunity for you and faster. And I look at that the same way with my business, with partnering with Place, is that when I combine my resources with their resources, we make a bigger opportunity for our organization and faster.
Welcome to Stay Paid Real Estate Marketing. Unlock the secrets of success in the real estate world, where each episode delivers valuable tips and strategies to elevate your marketing game and help you succeed in both life and business. Brought to you by Reminder Media.
Welcome to Stay Paid. My name is Joshua Steich, along with Luke Acree, and our guest today is Ramon Casals. Ramon is the founder of Rock Real Estate Partners and the author of the Amazon bestseller, No Permission Needed. Having sold over 2,000 homes in the last 6 years and his team doing 500 plus deals a year across the Southwest, Ramon produces the most productive and profitable real estate agents and teams and teaches others how to do it through his YouTube channel, as a co-host of the House of Agents podcast, and as a creator on BAM Media. Ramon, welcome to Stay Paid. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I know everyone always makes jokes about, oh, you pronounced my name right, blah, blah, blah. But that was really good. I mean, that's probably one of the better ones I've heard. I appreciate it.
Great job, Josh.
I did my research.
Josh has the infamous best intro in the biz, according to Matt Leonetti. We had Matt Leonetti on the show, and Matt goes, dude, that was the best intro in the biz. I was like, wow, Josh, that's quite the compliment coming from a content creator like him. I'm curious, man, why did you title the book A No Permission Needed? Like, why that title?
You know, it's interesting. The book was like something I just wanted to do. And I also really wanted the, when you Google it, you Google me, you get like a different profile on Google. And I wanted that. So like, I realized the book gets you that, which is one way to do it. But, it was because the publishing house that I was working with was like, dude, just start off super broad. Like, I know you want to do something very real estate and tactical related, but he's all, trust me, your first book you write, like the way you're doing it right now, he's like, you're going to look back in 6 months and go, oh my God, I could have done that better. It's like, so you can narrow it down in the future. Because if I was you, I'd do something very broad that appeals to more people that maybe not aren't even in real estate. He's like, I would go that route first and then, you know, decide what you want to do next after that.
Bang. Okay. It's super interesting because we've thought about writing a book before and we have struggled with that same thought. It's like, should we go niche or broad? But I guess, you know, nobody reads anymore. Like, does anybody read?
So statistically, right, this is another funny part about books, is that statistically 90% of the people that purchase your book will not make it past the first page.
That's crazy.
And the percentages even go down. Like, if you actually finish a book start to finish, you're in the 0.051% of people that purchase.
I wonder if that's me. Is that for business books? Is that a stat specific to business books? Do you know?
I don't know if it was for business books, but it was statistically what they talked about. Just people who buy books and then reading them in general. Now, again, how do you even track that? Yeah. I was like, okay, cool, but like, where's the data on that?
Well, I don't know. But personally, it rings true with me. Yeah.
The amount of books I have about
70, 80 books between right here, and I've probably legitimately only read half of them. So I can see how that could
work
out.
I'm a big Audible guy, and now on like, you know, 1.25 speed or 1.5 speed.
Yeah, speed up on the Audible book.
It's weird how your brain gets used to it. So I want to pick your brain because obviously super successful. You're coaching people now too. You know, this show, we talk a lot about lead gen. Right now in the real estate industry, interest rates are higher, inventory is lower. You know, that's the pain point that you're hearing constantly over and over again. One of the categories of lead gen that you mentioned a few, but when we were, you know, emailing back and forth with you was expireds. And I'd love to get your take on like how you go about marketing or selling to expireds that you feel is that's why it's one of your favorite categories of lead gen. Because I think that could help people right now with low inventory.
For sure. Well, I think first of all, conceptually understanding the power of expired listings. So what I always explain to someone, especially when I'm explaining like the three things we do to prospect for business, if you talk to 100 people today and the word real estate comes into the conversation, how's the market? Oh, I thought about being a realtor, whatever it might be. But real estate came up. You talk to 100 people, how many of them actually need your services in the next 30 to 60 days out of the 100? How many actually need your services in the next 30, 60 days?
Yeah.
I mean, 3 on the best day of the year.
Yeah, like, maybe. You
know, 1, 2. And so I say, okay, if that's the case, like, let's just think about what are the people that we can go talk to today that are in that 30 to 60 day category? Because that's what you want, right? You're not shooting for 6 months or a year. You're shooting for like now. And I go, a for sale by owner is someone who has their hand up currently saying, I want to sell my home. An expired listing is someone who has their hand up going, I just tried to sell my home. Oh, and I'm not opposed to hiring an agent either, because look, I just did. And there is a above 50% chance that I still want to sell my home. So when you just look at the avatar of an expired listing, I'm like, name a more qualified lead. Geez, they've signed a listing agreement with an agent, have a home, you have their information. Like, what else do you want? So I think the quality is the first thing to understand. Second thing is that when you're calling, you have to, like, I always do things in frameworks, never scripts.
Okay.
And so the framework that we talk about is phase 1, 2, and 3. And it really just comes down to reps, because there's very few people who are going to get on the call today and just knock it out of the park. And it's rare. I've seen it a couple times, but this is out of a couple thousand agents. But what happens is first, you really suck at the intro part. You're stuttering, the awkward silence kills you, the short, like, fast answers get you all riled up, and your heart's beating, and you're like, oh, and you fumble it. It's okay. But when you fumble it 100 times, and on the 101st time, you don't fumble it. And then you start making it further into the conversation. So then now you're in the middle part, which we call stop selling, start solving. And this is where you have someone talking more than a couple sentences. This is where, if they're on the phone with you still at this point, it's time to open up and, like, genuinely, what is the situation we're dealing with? Because my whole goal is to solve your problem. I need to know what the problem is. So you kind of turn off the salesman hat and turn on the, I'm very curious about what your problems are and if there's a way I can solve them. Then the last part is the close, and you just have to expect you're going to have to close them 3 times on the phone. You're going to expect that you're going to go for the appointment. Just expect that 3 times. The first time you go for it, they're going to shut down. Just expect that. And so you start making it further and further down the process, the more you do it, till the next thing you know, majority of the conversation, you got someone on the phone, you're actually asking for the appointment. Agents, we have to make sure they understand that. That's going to happen for sure. And if they can agree that, okay, I'm willing to go down that route, go down that path, they and stick with it and knock out the repetitions, they're usually pretty successful at it. And I mean, we have agents regularly pulling expired listings because of that type of training.
The massive golden nugget for me in that is, so we have a ton of callers on the phone. Now, we're a marketing company, so we're selling to small businesses, agents, and a myriad of different industries. But our sales has gone down, like our performance of sales rep. And, you know, I've been trying to figure it out. And the thing you just mentioned, that you prefer frameworks over, like, scripting, really resonated with me, because we used to teach people through this framework. Like, it's not even a framework. It's really just, hey, intro, what, how, why. And we still kind of do that to a degree, but we've moved so much as I've been out of the sale to scripting, because we have about 150 people on the phones now. So it's more call center-esque. And I'm wondering, it makes me want to go back now and, like, watch the training and go, man, are we, the reason we've lost the essence of the sale is because we're not framework teaching, we're more scripting teaching. And a framework teaches people to think, where am I at in the process? You know what I mean? We're scripting, just you're repeating, you're regurgitating. And I'm just pointing that out as, like, a golden nugget for me of, like, yeah, I've never thought about it that way. I keep saying, guys, you're missing the essence of the sale when you're selling this, but I haven't been thinking, well, yeah, they're missing the essence because they're not challenged to think. They literally are just reading words off a page and thinking that's going to win for them.
Yeah. And when they, exactly. And when they follow the framework, they become more natural at it. Like, because it's their words now. It's not my words. It's not someone else. It's their words. And the sooner you become natural and you sound natural, the better you sound on the phone, because when you think someone's reading from a piece of paper or reading from a script on the phone, it's the biggest turnoff for anybody. And agents always fumble it when they're trying to read the thing and talk. It's just never, I've never seen it work myself. So
that makes,
I think that's a good point.
So it makes sense. So talk to me a little bit about, do you go after expireds that just come up onto the market, you know, at whatever day, or do you go back a few, like, how do you pick the expireds you go after? Do you go after all of them? It doesn't matter.
I mean, majority, you say all of them. I mean, I'm in Maricopa County. So, I mean, you're talking a lot of expired listings.
Yeah.
In our Albuquerque market, it's very easy to say, yes, we call all of them. But what we'll do, we actually have a spreadsheet I was looking at for later tonight. And we take batches of like 50 to 100 expired listings from 2-3 years ago. And our VAs sort them all and they go through and see what's actually been resold and what hasn't. And so what we see is I see about 50%, roughly. I see anywhere between 50 and 60% have not been sold.
No,
and this
way.
Is from 2 years ago. Yeah. So we go back, I'll go back like up to 3 years. Once you start getting past that, the number that's been sold goes up quite a bit, but we'll go back a couple of years. Yeah. And you know, the market always is changing, right? For better for sellers or worse. In everyone's market. So yeah, we go back pretty far.
Imagine this, you're driving around town and you see a house that you previously sold with a for sale sign in the yard featuring an agent that isn't you. There's no worse feeling than knowing you missed out on an opportunity for repeat business simply because a former client forgot your name. With Reminder Media's help, you can become unforgettable with your own branded magazine. In fact, 70% of people who receive a personally branded magazine from their agent have done repeat business with them simply because they sent them the magazine. Never lose another client again because they forgot who you were. Visit remindermedia.com/forgottenagent to request your free sample of our branded magazine. That's remindermedia.com/forgottenagent. Take action on this today.
What's the approach? You obviously have the framework. When you get into the intro, like, what's the approach of the intro to get them to actually listen? Because it feels like, at least in my experience, it's like they've gotten so many calls because their expired has popped up and every agent under the sun is calling them. How do you cut through that noise?
So, I mean, there's a couple different ways. There are some people that are just inundated and they're in that state of mind that they're just like, screw everybody, all you agent. Like they're just, there's a brick wall. With those people, I always just tell our agents, call them tomorrow. Like, don't worry about that. Call them tomorrow. They don't even know the difference.
Yes.
Call them tomorrow. And you always have to show your agents that, see that property, the guy who told you never call me again, he just relisted it 2 weeks later with somebody else. Like, they're going to relist it with somebody.
Yeah, it's great.
So call them tomorrow then. They don't like it today, call them tomorrow. But the way we kind of cut through the noise is, number one, we don't stop at just the one phone call. We'll continue. Okay. The second thing is, you ever heard of like cold reading as a like, you ever heard with that? So cold reading is like, I basically look at, you know, your sign, take action. And I know I have one similar and I got my idea because I saw mine. I saw one at someone else's podcast studio and was like, oh, that looks pretty sick. Where'd you get that at? And that's how I got mine. I'm just going to take a guess. That's how you got yours.
Exactly. Okay. Off of Etsy, so, technically, and it took a couple tries, right, Josh? But we saw it on another show or something like that.
So if I was talking about signs as a sales guy, and I'm trying to sell you guys on a new studio, right, how to build one out, and I said that, you'd go, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. Right. Because I know there's likely 70% chance or more that you found that sign the way that most people find those signs, which is they see someone else's and go, oh, that would look so cool at ours. Where'd you get that? And they buy that one. Mm-hmm. That's cold reading. Now, you could have said, no, that's not how I found it at all, actually. And I said, oh, OK. And I just would have moved on. But the fact that I already said something that was true without you telling it to me, it builds credibility. So you think about what a seller is going through in the moment. They're getting a ton of calls. They don't know who is who, right? They're getting inundated with text. Everyone's telling them a different thing. A lot of times we already know what they're thinking and know what the majority of the objections are going to be. So we just lead with those. Like, what is we with, hey, I know you're getting calls from everybody and they're telling you a whole bunch of different things. I just have a couple questions. If you have 30 seconds, I promise I'll be quick. And they go, oh, okay, sure. I'm like, okay, cool. That was question number one. Question number two is, and then we'll go into it.
That's great.
Just by them even agreeing to take that second question, is the door is open now if they're still on the phone. So it's number one, letting them know you're going to be quick up front. You're not going to be quick, but you're telling them you're going to be quick. And you are essentially pulling things that they might already be thinking, and you're saying them first without them saying it. Now, we use this too at the very, very end in the close. But that's kind of how we cut through the noise, if that makes sense. Like, I'd have to go through the whole framework, but you practice the, hi, is this so-and-so? This is so-and-so with ROC Real Estate Partners. We haven't met before, but, and you go, you have to practice that over and over and over and over and over. Then you get better at reading where the conversation goes. But if that makes sense.
No, it makes so much sense, because obviously you always translate things based upon your lens. My lens is, like, we always talk about, we call it like leverage. What is the leverage point that you know about this person or something associated with this person? I've never heard it called cold reading. That's really good. I need to look into that more and understand that more, because you are so right. There are things that happen to everybody. And if you can mention it, it builds that credibility just to earn you 10 more seconds, just to get you that 10 more seconds. So we've been hearing all over the place about this company called Place. No pun intended there. I've been hearing all over the place about Place. So, you know, I maybe am oversimplifying it. This company that basically comes in, and the way I have looked at it from a businessman's perspective is like, in the doctor's world, healthcare world, there are these operating companies that come in and basically partner with all these doctors, and these operating companies will run the doctor's office, the paperwork, the billing, all the back end stuff. So the doctor can do what the doctor does best, which is practice medicine. And I understand that, like, Place took that type of model and said, let's apply it to real estate. But can you tell me, like, kind of, why did you join Place and choose to partner with them? Am I oversimplifying it? What do they bring to the table that you really feel has enhanced your business?
Sure. It's quite the educational process to learn about it, because it is very unique. There's nothing else there, nothing else out there like it in the real estate industry. First and foremost, why I say I joined is because the same way that I tell agents to join our organization, I said, when you combine your resources with my resources, we make a bigger opportunity for you and faster. And I look at that the same way with my business, with partnering with Place, is that when I combine my resources with their resources, we make a bigger opportunity for our organization and faster. So same concept of why anyone joins a team, right? But the important parts to know is that Place is not a brokerage. It is a real estate technology company, which automatically makes it very unique. Okay, they partner with top 1% teams across the U.S., that are doing a minimum of $1 million in GCI or 100 transactions annually. That's the bare minimum to even be considered for a partner. And there are some other things that they take into account, but that's the bare minimum. When you look at the brokerage landscape, there's a couple things that have never, ever been able to be solved. And number one is agent productivity. You could have guessed that. And number two is ancillary services. Now, in some small and even larger regional independent companies, the integration of consumer services like mortgage, insurance, title, they've actually solved those quite well. There are some companies out there that do it, but nobody on a national scale. And so the reason why I like the platform is because, number one, we are sharing best practices and information across 300 plus teams.
Wow.
From every single brokerage across the US. We're all running on the same operating platform and speaking the very same language, using the same technology. Everyone's helping each other grow. And Place's long-term vision is to incorporate consumer services, which is already in action right now. It's already in play. So you are able to bolt on, let's say, mortgage, title, insurance to your actual real estate operation, which to me is crucial because, number one, it's additional revenue for the company. It's additional lead capture, but it's more than that. It's an additional book of business to grow greater than just your real estate team. And when you look at a company like Zillow, right? Let's just, they're like the big, best example I can give. you look at Zillow and you go, okay, there's 180 million unique monthly users. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insanity. And so you get on Zillow and it's like, it's a pretty good value proposition. Would you agree? You can see any home that's on the market or for rent. You can see a home in person in about 30 minutes with a licensed agent. You can see how much your home is worth. You can get a cash offer on your home. You can get a mortgage through Zillow. You can get Zillow insurance. In some states, I think they close this now, but you're able to even close with Zillow closing services.
Jeez.
Not bad. And once you're in their funnel, they want you in there for life. They want, so I look at that and go, okay, that's a very good value proposition. I think in the future, agents and companies will be able, you have to have an answer to that. You have to be able to compete. And so there's no way I can outspend Zillow. There's no way I can outmarket them, but they still use agents. Why? Because they can't do what agents can do, right? They need the boots on the ground, the relationships, the people that know the lay of the land. So I looked at it and go, okay, well, if I can't compete with this multi-billion dollar technology company, what if I partnered with another one? I partnered with a multi-billion dollar technology company, but the difference is that this company 100% empowers the team and the agent and believes the agent will be the center of the transaction for the remainder of the future of selling real estate. And that vision I agree with, and I do think it is going to be a more competitive landscape where you will need to be partnered up with some big dollars to compete in the future.
It makes so much sense too, because as you look at like the landscape for the consumer, like the one thing that wins out is convenience. And, you know, the only thing that's going to drive consumers ultimately to the Zillows and in these online transaction portals is if the convenience gets to a point where it's just like so painful to use the local real estate agent, but you can use these platforms. So Place is basically giving you the ability to make your own hub. Now you get to keep your own brokerage. Like, you don't have to join a brokerage under Place or anything like that. You could be EXP, Keller Williams, Century 21, doesn't matter.
Yep. Any of them, doesn't matter. They sit on top of the brokerage. And the difference with their partnership is that it's a true partnership. I won't go into the details, but it's like if we started a business together, we're going to make money and we're going to lose money together. So it's not a vendor that you pay. It's a true equity partner who wants to make the most amount of money with your organization possible. So the fact that someone's in the trenches willing to take the risks with me as well, that says a lot about the confidence of the company.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say there?
Oh yeah, no, I was just, the last thing I was going to say, which I totally forgot, I spaced, but like when I met Ben Kinney, when I moved to Arizona to Scottsdale. He has a house out here, and he's out here pretty often. And I remember watching Ben's video when I was like 2015 or 16. It was like how to sell 500 homes in a year. I was like, dude, this guy is on another planet. Like, what is going on? And it was cool. You know, 5 years later, we were doing about that production, and I got the chance to meet him, tell him that was the first real estate video I ever watched. And when you really look at him and Chris Suarez, who are the two co-founders, yeah, when you look at, they started off as agents and are now taking a multi-billion dollar company public backed by a $100 million investment from Goldman Sachs. I don't know anyone who has a stronger resume in the real estate team space. And so just the opportunity to be in business with those guys and see what they're building and why and learn from them, that was a huge factor for me as well. I mean, I look around and I go, okay, that's the guys. So this is the team that I want to be around.
Yeah, it's so it's so true, man. Ben Kinney, I mean, he's just a freaking stud, dude. He has the whole Brevity or whatever platform too. I don't know if you guys integrate that in Place. Like, I mean, that guy is just unbelievable, everything that he's done in real estate. And it's interesting, like, I don't want the audience to miss, like, here you are, you're a freaking stud in and of yourself, and you have the humility and the foresight to go, hey, I want to be around people like that, that are, you know, I can get around, I can learn from. And that is the one of the keys I've seen in like really, really top performing people in all industries, is just they just have this desire to continue to improve and continue to grow, and the humbleness, like the confidence to not back down when people question them, but the humbleness to be open-minded. It's like They, and I don't know how you find that in people, honestly. It's like, how do you bring that out of people? Is it innately in them? Do you build it in them over time? I know you coach a lot of teams. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's just people that, like, you know, if you're not uncomfortable around a certain circle, like, it's probably a bad sign. Like, I get a little bit uncomfortable. Like, you know, Ben's obviously a friend and a business partner, but I'm still just a little bit uncomfortable around him at all times, because it's just like, the difference in accomplishments makes you question yourself a little bit, in a good way, though, right? It makes you think differently about what you're planning and what you're, and people have to like that environment. If you don't like that and you like being the, you know, the top guy in the room, it'll never work for you. It's just that simple. But I think the team, you know, I talk to a lot of teams, and there's one or two things that most team leaders you talk to, this is what they want to do. One of two things, almost always. A, they're like me and they want to go big or go home. They're like, dude, I want to expand. I want to go to other states. I want to incorporate all the ancillaries. Like, I want to be, you know, ranked in the country. They really want that. They want to grow. A or B is that they've been doing the team thing for a while. They're 10, 15, 20 years. They are certified pros at real estate sales. They are 100% the best person you can come into contact with to a real estate transaction in that market. They've tried the team before. They've tried hiring. They've tried removing themselves, a succession plan, a what's next, and just nothing's really been able to stick. And so they keep doing the thing, wondering, how am I going to stop doing the thing? How do I get more time with my grandkids? How do I, you know, grow this where it's not 100% focused around me having to run it? And those two people is what makes place very special, because you usually have 10, 20, 30 years, some people 30 years of knowledge in the business, like seeing it all. And you got, you know, one to 10 years who are hungry, ready to go get it. And you get to mix those together, and it's pretty powerful what it creates. But that's usually the one of two people that I see join the company most often.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. So much sense. It's so funny. It's like, to me, I go, it's going to be interesting to watch over the next couple decades, like, where the real estate industry ends up, because you see so much compression happening because of the big players in the space like Zillow. You now have the Places of the world happening. And then, you know, quite frankly, like, let's be real, 49% of agents, according to that article on Inman, did one or less transactions last year. So half the business right now is, like, terrible. They're not even in business. Like, it's a hobby, doing one or less transactions. And, you know, if that's you listening to this, you're listening to this, get better than that. You know what I mean? You're listening to this to take action and apply and get better. But it's like, it's going to be interesting to see where it ends up, because real estate is the one space that it's one of the biggest assets that a consumer has. But it is so unregulated, and it is also, the qualifications to get in is so low. So I think that's why you end up with an industry that it's like full of people that don't close. And I think technology is going to force them out in a way if they don't know what they're doing. Do you think everybody should join a team?
I started a team because, well, actually, there was no logic when I started a team. It was just, I thought that was the right thing to do. But I really was interested because I had a buddy who started at the same time. He went his way, I went my way. We regrouped like 8 months to a year later. And this dude is worlds ahead of me. Worlds ahead. I mean, he has pending files. He's, you know, we're sitting in the same CE course. His phone is blowing up. I haven't got an email about real estate in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm missing something. And so, yeah, I do think everyone should join the team at some point. I think it's a great way to build a very solid foundation in your career, because either you're going to be the guy who pieces it all together, takes the risk, revolves around you, you wake up with it and go to sleep with it, or you're going to be the agent who partners and has a very solid relationship with the team, gets what they need, gives what they're supposed to the team. And it's just, you know, not all the stress and all of the financial pressures on you. Most people, that fits most people's bucket. That's most people, which is fine. I always explain that to our agents. You're going to go one of two ways. Like, if you want to do how I did it, I'll tell you exactly how. And by all means, take the shot just like I did. But yeah, that's it. You know, the agent thing is interesting because I don't know any other profession where I see Facebook groups that say side hustles for real estate agents. I always find that fascinating. I'm like, what if your doctor, what if your doctor you go to is a part of a group that said side hustles for doctors? I would say, dude, that's not good. It's like, you need a side hustle.
I'm not sure I'm going to go to that doctor. Yeah, that's crazy. Man, unbelievable.
Ramon. Yeah. Awesome, man. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your all of your expertise with us, man. Awesome. Before we close out, let people know how they can connect with you.
Best way is on Instagram. That's usually where I'm most active. First name dot last name. I'm sure you'll put it in the show notes awesome. Somewhere, but yeah, pretty easy. That's where I am looking on social media the most.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thank you again. And thank you all so much for listening. As mentioned, you can get those links to connect with Ramon over at staypaidpodcast.com, where we list out all the show notes for this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and want to show your support, you can head on over to Apple Podcasts, drop us a 5-star review along with a comment. We'll read it here on the show. And the best way to show your support is to simply share this episode with someone that you know. If you want to get hold of me or Luke, you can email us at podcast@remindermedia.com. And of course, you can follow us on Instagram as well. We are at Stay Paid Podcast. For this episode of Stay Paid, I'm Joshua Steich.
Guys, I'm Luke Acree. Ramon, man, thank you so much. Incredible advice. Got some golden nuggets myself out of that. I'll give the action item to the audience because I want you to apply something, right? And I learned something new today that you should take action on because I'm going to take action on. And it's that art form of cold reading. It's like, are you applying cold reading to your sales process? Because I agree 1,000%. If you can voice to somebody what they're feeling before they actually voice it to you, yeah. It builds instant credibility. And credibility is what is one of the factors that builds trust. And you can't get people to buy from you if they don't trust you. Remember, the difference between top producers and mediocre producers in every business is top producers take action. So take action on that today.